Just a warning, this episode will contain spoilers. Come back to this episode once you've read The Silent Patient by Alex Michaelides. Also, be sure to check trigger warnings before listening as well. Hi, y'all. Welcome back to Boozy Book Talk. I'm Sahara.
I'm Ren.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Andy.
And welcome back. Woo!
It's been so long.
Did you see how it wasn't awkward then? Like, wow.
Only you were on been it. Talking for 2 hours.
That is very, very
Why have we been talking for 2 hours?
Because we just recorded November 9th.
Honestly,
3 weeks ago.
It does take a bit to like kind of like get comfortable again. I don't know. I remember the first time we ever recorded an episode, I was like so nervous. Like, I'm like, when do we speak? Can like, you know, it was very awkward, but now it's just like once you kind of get into it, you're into it. And that's probably why it was less awkward, because we haven't recorded in so long prior to like the past 2 hours.
I just hate that, like, the November 9 one, it was the awkward one.
I know. I mean, every episode we do is awkward in the beginning, because we're like, hey, like we're so dumb for that, but
the beauty whatever. Of editing, y'all.
So true.
It's just like, what do you say? Welcome back every episode, but it's like, I don't know. You know, it's a part of the opening, I guess.
Yeah.
So
should we say why we're recording back?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Sahara.
Okay. So next Friday, which is November 12th, which is technically now, it's like a while ago, a couple of weeks ago for you guys who are listening.
Currently, you are.
Yeah. Currently, for whoever's listening, I am in Nepal. I'm going for my cousin's wedding, and I will be there for 3 weeks. I'll be there until December 6th. Which is why we are recording 2 episodes on one day, because we still want to provide content for you guys, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Even we don't want to slack.
Yeah, sometimes we slack, but that's okay. Everyone's a little busy. We're all like, have busy schedules, whatever. But that is why we're doing 2 episodes. And yeah, so here we are.
You get a 2-for-1.
2-for-1 deal, y'all.
Well, they don't really get anything. We do.
Two-for-one deal for us, y'all.
So what is new in everybody's life? What is going on? It's been a minute since we recorded prior to 2 hours ago, but I want to know what's going on in everybody's life.
We did primarily just talk about New York in the last one.
So it's kind of
like life updates.
Andy, what have you been up to?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I did also talk a little about me, because I said I had the date tonight, aka 3 weeks ago. Yeah, honestly, other than that, work, school, you know.
How is your new job? Because last episode on Honeymooners, you mentioned you had a new job.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I started yet. Yeah, it's good. I like it. I weirdly had like a little bit of like mental breakdowns periodically, just because like back to working in person while also being back to school in person, it was just kind of like a lot happening at once, kind of overwhelming me a little bit, but I feel like I finally fully adjusted, so I like it. I like, it's a very fun job, very chill. I like my coworkers, they're besties.
Well, that's good. Honestly, yeah. I feel like the workplace is better when you have friends there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was also because I'm only there until finals week basically, and then I'm dipping because I'm done with school, so I'm moving away. They don't know that. Ooh. So if anyone happens to listen, which they aren't, but so at first I kind of had like the mindset of like, I'm here for money, I'm not here to make lifelong friends, because I'm here for 2 months and that's it. But then that kind of was part of what was making it like not so fun to acclimate and being back. And so I like kind of forced myself, and not even forced myself, I just kind of accidentally ended up kind of making friends, and now it's like way better. And like, now I enjoy my job.
And work friends just like hit different.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, I also feel like every new job, you kind of feel like I want to quit right away, because it's like you're transitioning new. You feel like you don't know what you're doing. And I personally hate the feeling of not knowing everything about a new job or like something I'm into. I feel like very like on different territory, and I don't like it. But then once you get in there and then you make friends, like work friends just hit different, because you don't like hang out much outside of work, but they know your whole life, all your drama, all your tea, all your like updates on dating. Like they know it all, and it's like so much fun. It's like a different kind of like friendship.
Yeah, for sure. And like I also feel like I get very paranoid. It's just like what you were saying basically about like being a new employee. Like I get very paranoid in my head about not being a good employee when I first start a new job, and which is obviously normal. Like you can't really be a good employee when you still are learning everything. And so I was just like getting very in my head, and like it just like kind of everything just forced me to be in this overwhelmed bubble. But now like other people are asking me what to do, and I'm like, whoa. And I sometimes have the answer and I'm like, whoa,
what a pro.
What am I doing? Well, it's not a hard job. I make pizzas. Let's
establish that. So when are you gonna mail me some pizza?
Same.
I don't know that it would translate well in the mail.
I'll reheat it.
Yeah.
Okay. We are actually a nationally ranked like local pizzeria. Just
so same. Yeah.
Wow.
Love that.
I'm lying there. I just see a pizza.
I want pizza now.
It is kind of like a fun pizza. Chicken nuggets. Because like we have fold over crust, which is like a thing most places don't have.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
It's like, so we have our crust and it's the same dough, and we sauce it first and then we flip the crust over and tuck it in. So it's sort of sauce inside, but also just like the way the dough is formed is different than like most pizzerias, because most of the time I think it's just like rolled to have like a thicker edge, but we roll it out evenly the same way and then fold it over.
I'm gonna order pizza for dinner tonight.
My mom's getting me Wawa.
Wawa.
Yeah, I'm getting a hoogie. I was gonna get a salad, but I had
the you say hoogie?
You mean a sub
hoogie?
Oh, I thought you said hoogie. I was like, yeah. I've heard hoagie, not a hoogie.
Oh, here we go. We're not getting into this. Yeah, I say hoagie.
No, hoagie's not. No,
hoagie fest. Sahar was like sub.
She thought you said hoogie.
Yeah, no, but Sahar was like, you mean a sub?
Because I know there's like two words. So
yeah,
actually, no, I don't say hoagie, but I understand it.
People sub.
I understand it. Like, I've heard it.
Only from people from New Jersey.
There's random things like that everywhere. It's the same.
Well, in New Jersey,
a specific one that we've all talked about many times, but
yeah, in New Jersey, like down the shore, like I'm South Jersey, so down the shore in South Jersey, they say something else. So like they can say like hoagie or something else. So it's like really just like, I don't know. It all means the same thing.
Some people say grinder.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I heard that.
It's funny. I've literally like talked about this stuff in linguistics classes. So really, I'm like, I'm in class.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a hoagie. Pizza sounds good though. I kind of want pizza. I always want pizza. Like, my favorite one of favorite foods.
And chicken nuggets all the time.
I'm actually gonna look up to order pizza.
I get a free pizza every shift, so I'm like
so jealous.
I'd be like fucking 1,000 pounds. I already am, but
I'm it's only been like a month, and I'm like, I don't eat pizza outside of work because like
you're like over it.
Yeah,
I get that.
But it's nice to have like a free meal to bring home to your roommates.
Oh
like,
yeah, on Friday. Nice. Jen, what have you been up to?
I'm working. So as we mentioned, we're recording like two episodes in one day. So we're recording this after we just recorded the November 9th episode. So this past week, I was still in New York for a bit, but I came back to work on Wednesday, and it's very busy, and I've been working all day and night. I've been getting home like around like 8 maybe. And I'm actually still working right now. It's Saturday. So I'm literally, cause we have like a new business pitch. So we're trying to get a new client. So we're building a deck. So like my boss and like my coworker were like exchanging texts like back and forth, and like we were on Zoom at like 8:30. Tomorrow we're gonna be on Zoom at 8, and like I'm tired. It's been a tiring week. It was short but also long. I can't explain. the reality of work really hit.
I don't know how you do it, because when I'm off the clock, like I'm like, like people that, hopefully no one from work is listening either, but like the like higher level people that like, you know, the director, CEO, whoever, they'll like give me like emails at like 12 at midnight. And I'm like, go to sleep. Like, I don't want a million emails from you. But like when it hits 5, or like if I sometimes have to go till 6, that's fine. But like when my time hits, I'm like, I'm done. Like, if you sent me an email at 4:45, I'm not checking in until tomorrow morning. I'm sorry.
I'm like that, but like,
you're also in PR, so that makes sense.
PR is,
where's that marketing?
A little different. It's a little different. Like, we're on like a time crunch here, and
I get it.
But yeah, I'm usually like that too, and I've been like that. But like, I think sometimes there are just some assignments that like you really can't do that for. You know, like if it was something that I felt like, okay, I don't have to answer this right now, like I'll wait till Monday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
like,
I've received that.
Like, I've received some emails and I'm like, okay, I'm not answering that. Like, I'm literally just focusing on like that deck.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good to have boundaries. I feel like it's like something you kind of learn like with work. Like, okay, I'm not going to answer. But like, at least this time, it's like not just you, Jen. Like, I feel like a lot of time you're like always stressed. It's not just you. It's like, you know, you're the team effort, which makes it more enjoyable.
Exactly. So this is also why like I'm okay with it, because it's not just me. Or like in past jobs, it has been just me.
Mm-hmm.
But right here, it's literally like I have a team of people who are doing it with me. And it's not even just me and like my two coworkers, it's other people too. Like, we have some people on the East Coast who are working with us too. So it's like a group of like 6 that are like working this whole weekend.
That's good. I feel like when you're finally done, you'll be like, this felt good. Like, it's over with. Yeah. Like, now the rest is out the way.
And it's not something that's like a common occurrence. So it's I'm fine. You know what I mean?
That is good, at least.
How's your week, Sahara?
Honestly, a little stressed with work too. Not as stressed as you are, because you are still on the clock, it looks like, but just because I'm leaving for Nepal soon, I am trying to like crunch everything that I need to get done, because I've got designated to be the deck girl. So for people who don't know, just making PowerPoints like on Google Slides, and a ton of people from sales have been like asking me to do it. And I just like want to get everything done and ready. I mean, I'm still working while I'm in Nepal, like for a little bit, because I don't have enough PTO. And it's like when you miss school, you're like so far behind that I don't want to miss so much work that I'm so far behind. So I'm still going to be working, but like only like half days. So just trying to crunch everything in before I leave. And also October was just like so hectic. I didn't have like a single free weekend. So I'm just also trying to like catch up on sleep now, because now I have to adjust to a time difference. So that's just great.
Wait, so what hours will you be working? Like, how's like what's the time difference?
So when it's morning here, it's night there. Yeah. So it's like flopped. So my mom's in Nepal already. So when she calls me, it's like literally night and day. So right now she's probably like slowly going to be waking up soon, because it's going to be nighttime here. But so yeah, when I'm working, what I'm doing is like, we have marketing meetings on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So it's at 9:30. So I'm going to start working at night. I'm only working 4 hours, whatever day I work. So I'm going to work at night up until like my marketing meeting ends. So I'm going to try to make it to those meetings, because they're so early in our morning. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know if like I'm going to be exhausted or what. I'm just going to get the work that I need to get done. And if I can't attend the meetings, then like whatever, as long as I get shit done, you know?
Yeah. Are they like allowing you to like just like kind of work on your own time? Because I feel like, yeah, as long as you get the work done, who cares? Especially if it's just PowerPoint. If you're like, if they want you to do the PowerPoints, that's at least something you can do like in your own time.
Yeah. So I work in marketing. So I do like email campaigns, videos, and making decks and stuff. But everyone knows I'm going to be gone, so I don't think they'll like overload me with stuff. But I'm going to like, my work's really lenient in general anyways. Like, it's just, you have to get your shit done. It doesn't have to be totally in the hours, as long as you're getting it done. So I think it'll be fine, but we'll see what happens. What about you, Ren? How's your week, month been?
I feel like my life's very stressful right now. I mean, like, I hate complaining when life's stressful, for me at least, because I just feel like it's a good stress. Like, I'm in my last year of law school. I don't think I've said this in the podcast, but I got a job for when I graduate. I will be working. Yeah, so that's like a good thing on my plate. So that was like a lot of my like early, like the semester was a lot of that stress. So yeah, I have a job when I graduate. Obviously, it's all contingent on my background checks and all that stuff. But so that's a good stress. And then I just had my last shift at the brewery I worked at. I quit because I just want time off. Like I just never had a weekend off. And like I'm kind of stressing about like I've never just not had a job. So like that thought of that makes me really anxious with money, because like in the past, like what if something goes wrong? You need money. And I've stressed about that. And like, you know, where something hit your account and you're like, fuck, like you have this crazy expense, you don't have the money for it. But now I just like need to like calm down and just like take the time in, because school is very, very hard. And I just need the time to like study. Like we're in a bar prep class and that's just like, it's too much. And I need to get my shit together and like study for the bar now, like start gradually getting it, because I refuse to fail the bar for the first time. I'm passing it. So that's stressful. And then I have to spend $3,000 on a bar prep class for when I graduate.
Actually, insane. Like that is so insane.
That's what the discount. That was with the discount. Was it's like $2,600. That's what the discount. Because I work at a clinic in my school, so I get a public interest discount, and also I'll be working with a judge for the year. So like that's also counts. So like, I got a couple hundred dollars off.
School is but such like, a scam. Like what the fuck?
Yeah. And they just sent us a bill yesterday for $100 for graduation fees. Like how much more money do you want from me? Like law school is so ridiculous. Like I don't, it's like, you really got to think about it. Anybody wants to go to law school, I say you should do it, but think about it's an institution that's for people who already have money, who come from money. Let me just say that. So life's pretty stressful, but it's a good stressful because I'm graduating and like good things are happening for me. I'm just, life's life. But that's like my updates, I guess.
Ren, I actually talked about you yesterday because every like Friday, once in a while, me and like the girls that are closer to my age, we have like coffee time. And this one girl, she's the legal assistant, but like, doesn't actually know anything legal. Like she has a major in like econ and English and stuff. So she's technically just the like actual assistant. So she's like, if you ever have legal questions, like, please don't come to me because I don't know anything. And like the lady who was our like lawyer for the company, she actually just like quit. So we don't have anyone at the company anymore. And she was like saying during her interview, like she, like the lawyer had asked her, she was like, oh, like, do you want to go to law school? Is it something you're interested in? And she was like, oh, no, I don't think so. And I was like, well, like my friend's in like law school right now, and she just had to pay like a ton of money just for like prep class or whatever. And I, yeah, so I like had mentioned you.
Oh my god, it's, I literally just feel like I wake up every day and it's like something else. But I'm very sad it's ending. I'm obsessed with my friends. I think they're so such great people. Like I'll miss them a lot, but I just am ready to make like more than like $10 an hour max. So I'm really excited to like just like be in the field and feel good. And people say like when you take the bar, like you feel like a new person. Like I feel like now I'm stressed, like I don't feel like I'm ready to be a lawyer, but by the time I take the bar and study and know all that, I feel more confident. I'm just ready to like get my life together, I feel like an adult and like have a real career. So yeah, it's exciting.
I'm excited for you.
So what are we all drinking today?
Well, I am drinking just another flavor of Claw Lemon, which, you know, still is related to Harry because of the lyrics. If you're a Harry fan, if you know, you know.
Spilled.
Aren't you guys not like that happy? Like I'm finally drinking alcohol.
I am very happy.
I am happy. It's about time.
Yeah.
What are
it
you?
It feels wrong almost.
I know. I'm sorry. When I get a new flavor, aha, I'll be back into my mojo. What are you drinking, Jen?
So I am drinking a Gatorade. It's the Glacier Cherry flavored. And I also have a little shooter.
It's a nip?
Dragon fruit. No, a shooter.
A nip.
Dragon fruit. It's Sky Infusions. Dragon fruit flavored.
Ooh, are you going to take it right now?
I guess.
Well,
fine. Okay.
Now we're waiting.
Crack that baby open.
Oh, God. Do you know how?
Heroine night one, part two.
Woo, 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 except woo. that one was nothing. I was
because it's kinky. Yeah. Okay, well, Jen takes her shot. Take it.
Not you. We could hear your whisper.
Ren, what are you drinking?
How do you?
Oh gosh. Okay, I'm drinking a watermelon high noon.
Look at that. Ooh. Hairy theme.
Yeah. Watermelon is just my favorite flavor overall. So, and before same. Harry. So I can't even blame it on him. My favorite
fruit before Harry. So I agree.
Yeah. True. So,
yes. Yeah, well, I made watermelon my personality before Harry made it his.
Exactly.
He just copied.
Y'all. He copies everything. We all do. Mm-hmm. Fucking loser.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, loser. Gosh.
Loser. Andy,
he is a loser. Yeah. Andy, what are you drinking?
I have a strawberry water or strawberry lemonade. Truly.
We are so on brand.
We are. I literally bought them at the store the other day because, I mean, Harold, you know, as we all know.
Literally, it's actually illness at this point.
Oh no, it literally is fully mental illness. Anything I see at the store, I go, ooh, mine.
We were at my friend's birthday party and he had gotten, I don't like drink Smirnoff anymore because it's triggered from college, but he got like Smirnoff watermelon vodka and we all took a shot and I like made everyone like cheers to Harry, but even though it's my friend's birthday and we should have cheers to him. I was like, guys, it's watermelon. Not we that. Have to cheers to Harry. So everyone just cheers to Harry and took the shot.
Sahara, that's, meanwhile, I would be mad if I were your friend, not gonna lie.
To be fair, this was our second shot at the point. We already cheers the first one to my friend. Oh, we were like, oh, 25. Oh,
okay. You're fine, yeah, made it seem like it was just for Harry.
No, yeah. Like the second one was to Harry. I was like, we're not doing two shots for you. I don't care if it's your birthday. Like, this is Harry theme now.
So, as you know, we're finally talking about The Silent Patient, which focuses on Alicia Berenson, a world-famous painter who lived a seemingly perfect life, until one day she shot her beloved husband Gabriel 5 times and never uttered a single word again. Theo Faber, an ambitious psychotherapist, is dying to work with Alicia and find out why she hasn't spoken since the death of her husband. This book is full of unexpected twists and wild turns and will have you on the edge of your seat as you don't know whose story to believe.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Dun,
so it's important to point out this episode was supposed to come out a month ago because it was October and it was Halloween time.
Right.
It was on all of us. We don't. Yeah.
It to happens. Be fair, it happens. It's not like I understand why we picked it, but after reading it, I realized I wasn't like thriller-y. As I thought it was going to be. If that yeah. Because I didn't know anything about it. I just knew, like, Silent Patient, she doesn't speak anymore, didn't know anything more to it. So I think I assumed that was going to be scarier, but it wasn't scary at all. You know what I mean?
No, I wasn't thinking it would be scary. I was thinking it would just be anxiety-inducing. And I feel like it did for me, at least. Like, I definitely was getting anxious.
I didn't think it was going to be scary. I thought it was going to be kind of like a Verity kind of feeling, which I also just wanted to read overall because I was saying like this book and then It Ends With Us were like the two books that got everybody back into reading. So like when all my friends like started this book, were like obsessed with it. And like
The Silent Patient?
Yeah, like, a lot of people I know got into reading because of Silent Patient. Like that got back into reading. I was like, okay, like
how?
I'm going to read it. So I wanted to read it anyway. Like, I don't know, they like these kind of books, I guess, but.
Okay, well, now we need to get into our ratings because Sahara's reaction is very interesting. Because, okay, it's also important to note, none of us have actually discussed this book yet. This is our first ever book because before recording, none of us had read the book yet. So none of us have talked about anything regarding our thoughts or feelings or whatever towards the book.
These are like raw, like emotions, like raw first emotion. Time. Like,
first time we're getting anger. We're getting, you know, we're going to have these hard hitting discussions. So how did you guys rate the book?
I mean, I guess I can start because I feel like I probably have the lowest rating out of everyone. So let me start. Okay. I gave this a 3 out of 5. I almost gave it a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
Because, so it took me a while to read this, and I didn't even read it. I listened to an audiobook of it. It just took me a really long time because it was so slow. I felt like the story could have easily been cut in half. Like, I get, like, everything kind of, like, led up to the twist and all of that, but it just was, like, so long and it was like dragging on. I'm like, where's the twist? Like, when is it going to hit? Like, when are we going to go up the hill? Like, why are we still on this flat road driving through? It drove me insane. And then I kept being like, it's a 2. Like, I can't give this anything higher. Like, maybe the twist will change my mind, which it did, which is why I give it a 3, maybe a 3.5. I'm still going to go with the 3 just because it was just so slow for me. But the twist, I was just shocked. Like, I feel like I should have seen it coming, but maybe because like the slow road, I just didn't really see it coming up until, which we can talk about. So I won't say anything until we all say our thing. But yeah, so I gave it a 3. The twist is what gave it a 3. If the twist wasn't as good as it was, I definitely would have just given it a 2. And that's why I'm shocked that Ren's friends, like, this is what got them into reading. Like, I get the whole different like genre and stuff, but I just felt like it was just so slow though. But maybe that's just me. Anybody else? What
are you guys saying? Are you a horror movie fan? No, right?
No. But this wasn't scary. This wasn't like...
No. No,
I just wanted more.
Yeah, I brought that up just because horror movies tend to, I feel like, sort of follow a similar plot arc where it's depending on which movie, because some are like just crazy from the get-go, but some are more like subtle the whole time and more slow until a build, and then that's when the climax like hits.
Like Shutter Island. Have you seen Shutter Island?
Yes.
Like the book reminded me of that, actually.
Yes. Okay. It's funny. I actually told my brother about this book and he was like, oh, it sounds like Shutter Island.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was slow. And then all of a sudden it was like, Alicia speaks. And I'm like, that was so abrupt. Like that happened like so fast. But like, I don't know. I want to hear what you guys think.
Okay. My thing is, okay, you guys know I was in a book slump and I start off every book with a 3 and like it goes lower or higher as like I read.
That's
for me is
3 is average.
I agree. Yeah, 3 is average for me. I agree with Sahara in the sense that it was slow for me, and I do watch scary movies and horror movies and thriller movies and suspense movies as much as like it freaks me out. I get hooked. Like I have to know, you know? What confused me too in the book was that it was like a back and forth between like the diary and like his point of view, which is fine. But it threw me off every time. Like it started from like chapter 1 again. Like it was like, I think it was like 4 different
each parts.
Hated that format. Like I hated it. I hated it because I just prefer like I would have preferred like 50 chapters over like
4 1, parts, 2, 10 3, chapters 4, each.
And then like start chapter 1 again. Like it just confused me. Like it, but I mean, I was following it, but I don't know, like, because of the slow, little subtleness throughout the book, and then, like, the boom at the end, I think I rated it a 4, but I give it, like, a 3.75.
So I feel like, initially, when you're reading it, you kind of, like, I have a different rating than I have now, but let me just say, like, this was the first audiobook I've ever listened to, and I was, like, I was like, I'm not gonna like an audiobook. I actually think this book was a really good audiobook for me because like the way like the story was told, since I'm so like anxious, I like to like look ahead and like read like the next page for a second and then come back. So it's nice, like kind of forced me to like be in the moment. When I was listening to it, maybe because I listened to it on my way to school, like I didn't think it was as slow as like Sahara, I guess, was like explaining it. Like it definitely had parts where it was a little slow in the middle. But I feel like it kind of like did its justice with like holding me in, like keeping me interested in it. But at one point I was also like, let's get it together, like a little bit faster now. But like when I finished it, I was like, okay, like 4. But then I thought about it and I was talking about it with my brother's girlfriend who's like told me like, you have to read it. Like she's the one who's like recommended me to officially read it. I was like, I just felt like the twist was a little sloppy. Like it was also annoying because I really liked him, but I felt like the twist was sloppy. A lot of the stuff didn't make sense. Like I'm like, there's no way that it was him. Like, I don't know. I just felt like the hype up for it, like especially when he was interviewing like all the people, I expected something different than when it was him. Like, how did she not know it wasn't him? Like, I know he had his face covered or something, but like, okay, but like when you're initially reading those parts, I feel like he wrote the twist last second. I'm sorry. I don't think it was a planned twist because, like, the way when I was reading it, I'm like, there's no way. I just like the way he wrote it, like, and all of a sudden, like, she ended up remembering and then she was playing along with it. Like, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. Well, I don't know.
It wasn't I do see what you're saying with part of it, but it couldn't have been a last minute twist because the whole time it's leading up to that, because we're reading about that, not knowing that that's what's happening.
Yeah, but like everything's happening. I just feel like his character, like it just, the part with the other person like stalking, it just, I'm sorry. I felt like the more I thought about it, the more it was like a rush last minute thing.
I didn't
like that he was the person. I was like, are you serious? Like, it was shocking. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, I really loved his character. But I knew something was wrong with him. Like, he was definitely crazy because, like, he had a lot of issues growing up and, like, being without his wife and stuff. I did not expect her, like, his wife to be, the affair. I thought it was going to be, like, her director or something that he said, like, she was, like, so I was really shocked. I was like, okay, like, I'd go crazy too. But the fact that, like, he was hiding it from her, like, she was hiding it from him, and, like, he was hiding from her, that, like, he knew, like, I thought the whole thing was pretty crazy, but it kind of disappointed me that, like, ended up being him. I'm like, I feel like there should have been a better plot twist. But that's, like, my perspective. So, like, I actually gave it the exact same rating. I gave it a 3.75. But the more I think about it, like, it's not a book I'd go back to, so maybe a 3.5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same, Ren. I don't think this is necessarily a book that I'm attached to too much to even like think of going back to read it.
I did like it. Just
yeah, no, that's fair. I'm the same way. Like, I actually just went and checked my Goodreads because I was curious what I rated it because I forgot, and I started 4 out of 5, and then I wrote in my like review 4.5 out of 5, and I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I
gave it that high. Rating.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about it now, and like when I was gonna say what I rated it, I was gonna say probably a 4, maybe 3.5, like 3.5. So I was like, whoa, I did not realize right in the moment. But I think right after the moment, especially since I was the one who suggested we don't talk about it and stuff like that, and I couldn't, Ren was the only one who'd finish it at the time, I was just kind of like sitting in like kind of like the what the fuck of mindset, and I wrote the review like right after. So it like in that moment, it's like, whoa, so good. And then like a little bit more time passed and I was like, oh, you know, yeah. I do still think the twist, part of me saw it coming, but then I didn't see how it would play out. Like the fact that what was bigger twist to me was the fact that we had been reading the build up to it the whole time without realizing that's what we were reading. And also the fact that in the end, she was the one who ultimately killed him. But the way that that played out, that was what was more of a plot twist to me than Theo having been the stalker and essentially the one who triggered the murder. Like, that wasn't as shocking to me as everything else was.
To the end, when everything was, like, they were explaining, like, she did it. Like, I was, like, I think because I was listening, too. I was like, wait, hold up, what? Mm-hmm. Like, what? And like, then he goes home and like the sheriff comes to his home. Like once he goes there and visits him, I knew that he knew that he was caught. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, it just ends.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like everything was super abrupt, super rushed after it. We find out the big plot twist. I feel like maybe he didn't know how to end it and it just randomly ends. And like, we're just left thinking with like, well, okay, like this is it. It was so anticlimactic to me. It was super abrupt.
Yes.
The way it ended, it was so, yeah, exactly. So abrupt. I'm like, are you kidding?
And yeah, I don't know if I've never read Alcestis or the Greek play that it alludes to and stuff, but I don't know if either of you have read much Greek literature at all. I took like a Greek myth class and I read a few Greek tragedies, and it is similar to that where they just kind of end. And I'm guessing by the name, Mikalides, he's Greek as well. So it makes sense that one, like, Greek tragedy is kind of a allusion throughout the play and that it, or throughout the book, and that it kind of ends almost in a similar way where it just kind of ends.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
I actually liked the twist, and maybe I liked it more because I had been waiting for something, anything to happen except like the straight road that we were driving down. And I didn't really like, I kind of liked the way he wrote that everything, you know, when he was talking about Kathy and like Kathy cheating on him and all of that, like everything we were reading was like from the past. Like it wasn't like a present thing, which like
unknowingly.
Yeah. Unknowingly. Like when we're reading it, we're like, oh, okay. Going back and forth. Like he's with Kathy, he's, you know, at the hospital, whatever, the clinic. Mm-hmm.
Day off, and, whatever.
Yeah. Like it just keeps going back and forth up until, and I knew he was a stalker and I'm sure we all kind of did right when he was like, oh, I followed him. He's like, he followed Gabriel. Well, we didn't know it was Gabriel at the time, but he followed the guy home. I was like, fuck, he's the stalker. Like, he's going to be the guy. Yeah, I was like, same. He has to be. Oh,
you
put
it together then?
I was thinking because he followed him. And remember, Alicia was like, this guy kept following me. Just like that. I was like, is it him? Like, that's when I started becoming a little more curious because mm-hmm. that's also when I like started paying attention more. Mm-hmm. because before I was just like, whatever. But since then, and then obviously it was a confirmation when he was like, the husband left and he's like, but I still stayed. I still watched the house. And I was like, fuck, like it is him. Like he is the stalker. And I just didn't see it. It's now that we know, I'm like, that's kind of cliche that the therapist, like he ended up being the stalker. I'm like, cliche in a sense, but like, I still really enjoyed the plot twist and I was still equally shocked. That's when I texted Ren and I just was like, what the fuck? Like, I just was not expecting it at all. Maybe because it's so cliche. I was like, why would he do such a cliche thing of it being actually him? You know what I mean?
So like in the moment, I liked the twist. But then I thought when I like thought about it, I'm like, what? Like, I don't know. I did like the aspect when you were saying earlier, like that we thought like him finding out she was cheating on him was in the moment, but it wasn't. It was like past. So that like that was like kind of caught me off guard. And I the time we got her diary, like I was like torn. I'm like, is it in her head? Is it not in her head? Like, mm-hmm. I really thought like her old doctor was something was going to happen with that. The guy who now works at the clinic, I forget his name.
Christian.
I was like, something. Yeah. I was like, something has to like, and it was like, I really didn't know. I did not see this twist coming. Like, I'm not shocked that like it went that way. Cause I'm like, what else would have been as shocking? You know, I feel like when you're picking a twist as an author, like, I feel like you have to do something like crazy. You can't lead up to it and just be somebody like the friends, you know?
Yeah, there was definitely something wrong with Theo the whole time. There's no way he was a main guy. Like,
yeah. See, it's so interesting, like the way we all kind of, because I feel like even though we all read it similarly, there's all different thoughts that we all had, which is very interesting. I mean, obviously we're all gonna have that, but like I constantly, each time he was like interviewing or talking to a new like man that had been a part of, because they were all men, which I think was definitely for a reason, like that were part of her past, like with Gabriel's brother and then the art person and her cousin and stuff like that, like each time I was like, oh, it's him. And then I was like, wait, no, it's not.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's him. Wait, no. And then I was like, which obviously was, I think, intentional, but I didn't put it together that he was the stalker literally until he said, like, he approached the house and he saw the fan turn on. Because she'd mentioned in her diary or something about she turned on a fan the day he approached.
Yeah.
Like, and he finally showed up. And I was like, the fucking fan.
That's a good eye, Andy. I didn't even like realize that. I also think it's hard because I was listening. I feel like when I'm reading, I notice those little things more, like even with like certain like quotes and lines, like, but that's a good point. Like, cause she mentioned this fan that like Gabriel hated. And then Theo was fucking crazy. He was crazy.
I just thought all of it was parallels, essentially. Like, I didn't think it was going to be that the stories were tied. I thought it was just kind of like we were following parallels. And I thought in the end, he was going to kill Kathy. That's kind of where I was thinking it was going to go.
That would have been, that would have been a shock.
Yeah, see, I didn't even think of that. That would have been a good plot twist, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's where I was thinking you're going to find out that someone else had been the killer or something, but like he was kind of working with her and also kind of also being crazy anyway, like drove him mad enough to the point where he was going to kill Kathy.
I didn't think Theo was going to be the stalker or the killer, like half the killer. You know what I mean? I didn't think he's going to be the stalker because there was a scene when, but again, this might've been, can't remember if this was the fake story that Alicia said, where she was like, the stalker said, oh, the cups are in this cabinet or whatever. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
I assumed that it had to be someone that she knew, one of the guys that Theo had interviewed because of that scene. I was like, Theo never came in my mind that he was the stalker. I just assumed it was someone she knew because of, like, he knew where things were placed in our house. Like, he knew her a little too well. So I was like, it can't be a rando person. It has to be someone she's close with in some way.
Yes.
Just the way he was playing off, like, he didn't recognize her. Like, it was just weird. Like, his obsession with her was just always weird.
Yeah, it really was.
And I was like, maybe he's in love with her, but he kind of was. Yeah. So he wanted to hold her close. It was weird.
Yeah, and, like, the other doctors, I thought it was very interesting when they said something like, silence is seductive or something like that. And I was like, whoa, I don't know what, like, that was just, like, such an interesting quote. But also, like, yeah, like, and he was like, she's not seducing me. And no, she wasn't, but he was still being seduced.
Yep.
Like, in a way.
Yeah, but he was also, like, I don't know. I just, even, like, when he, like, got her own room and she stabbed the girl or whatever she did, and then,
oh my, like, God, in her eye?
Dude. Alicia was fucking crazy. Like, she, I'm sorry, but I still don't understand why she was quiet.
No, there's literally...
I think it's just to have, like, kind of an allegory to the Greek myth tragedy that it's about.
Because she, like, starts talking, like, abruptly, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, a gradual her speaking. It was just, like right there and then.
Yeah. I think it was just to essentially be a retelling of the story. Because that's what happens, ultimately, you know, is, like, the same sort of thing. She was doomed to her death by the person she loved the most. And then Theo's like, my job's done. So then she can dip, or he can dip. And then she's like, I hate you now. Boom, boom, boom.
It makes me happy to think that, like, she didn't turn on her husband, because, like, she actually did love him, and, like, she was going, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was, like, curious how that was going to play out. But I did like at the end with Theo when she hid the notebook behind the painting.
I thought that was really good. That was so smart.
That was genius of her. I'm not even lying. That was a good part. And, like, then they came and he couldn't find it, like, I don't know. I really liked Theo's character, even though he was a little crazy. So I was kind of disappointed. Yeah. But the whole aspect was good. I think the last, like, good bit was, like, I just wonder, like, I don't know. I thought we were going to get something else, but the way, like, it abruptly stops. But I guess you just allude to the fact that, like, okay, he was caught and he's going to get in jail and that's it.
Yeah. I also, coming off of our discussion previously on November 9th, since we just recorded it, it's very interesting, like, reading this, because after finding out, obviously, what Theo actually is to Alicia, it's like you question the whole book, because you realize you've been reading an untrustworthy narrator this whole time. And, like, you don't really know what's been honest about any of the things he's said. Like, I kind of questioned, like, obviously it's not a reality, it's a fake book, but still I question, or it's fictional, but, like, I question the reality of even the fiction that we're reading, because, like, you don't know actually, even because this whole time he's known he's the person that led to the killing, but we don't know that. So I'm like, I don't even know if I can believe anything he's saying. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, we don't know how trustworthy he is. Like, we don't know how his point of view is warped. Like, what can we actually believe happened?
I don't even know if I can believe even, I mean, obviously I do believe the affair with Kathy, but I don't know if I believe the extent that it was at.
You know? I guess, like, that's kind of plays into what I was saying earlier about, like, I feel like this was just, like, thrown together, but, like, obviously you're looking at it from his perspective and he's acting like he doesn't even, like, he is obviously not going to come off and, like, give any cute clues, like, to anybody around him that he knows her. Like, he wants to come in, like, but I guess, like, you kind of hinted it, but it does make sense. Like, of course, that to me, it seems rushed, or, like, not, like, seems very just, like, thrown together, because, like, obviously in his end, on his mind, like, his narration of it, he doesn't want you to know that or have any clue, you know?
Yeah.
What was that guy's name? Christian? The other?
The doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the fact that he, like, was questioning Christian, be like, oh, so you knew her beforehand and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Theo, hello, you this also bitch had, knew her.
Yeah.
Oh, like
yeah, when I and put done something together, way worse.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, you are gonna get your medical license revoked, and it's like, sir, you literally caused this woman to murder her husband.
You really had a lot of people. You were like, it could be this person. Like, it could be, the what you would call it, the friend who the guy who in the gallery could have been him. It could have been the fucking crazy like woman next door. You know, you don't know who she was. Like, she was just a friend, but you never know. Could have been Dr. Yeah. Christian. Like, you didn't know who it was. So I think that was crazy. I also was so curious. Like, I thought something more where it came from. Who was the main doctor that like
Dionysus?
Diomedes, whatever.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I even thought like for a moment I was suspicious of him. Even
he like left his job and then like, that was it. It was was like, oh, he's like leaving and you're gonna take over his position, but like also we want to start a new like place and we want you to bleed it. Like, it was just like, I get what you meant, friend, by it being messy or whatever. He literally like all of that happened so fast and there was no like lead up to that or like what's, you know.
Yeah, I was especially sus of him though when Alicia was in a coma and he was nowhere to be found. I was like, oh,
what's happening?
Very interesting. And then he showed up, he's like, sorry, phone call or something, and I was like,
I did not think Thea was the one who like made her overdose.
Yeah,
that like, was, I was like, what?
Yeah, and I then, thought that was quite crazy.
Right before then, it was like Yuri was selling like the medicine. Yes. Like, what about that? Like, you just left that as it is. Like, oh, he's selling and that's it. So we were supposed to be suspicious of him. Like, he just like, I don't know. He said all these things to make us like think it's that person and then just didn't do anything more with that information.
Yes. Yeah. So I also, okay, well, there's two other things I wanted to say, so I forgot one of them, but I'll say one. So I read the physical copy of the book, and at the back of the book they have discussion questions, and one of them I was reading through to see like if anything would be interesting for conversation, and some of them are like a little too like meh, but one of them I thought was interesting, and it says, we never enter Kathy's mind in the book, do you have any sympathy for her? Which I don't have necessarily sympathy, but I would like to see some of her point of view or hear a little bit from her.
Kathy's his wife, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I couldn't stand her. I thought she was so fucking annoying. Like, the second we meet her and she's like with the friends and she leaves like her current boyfriend at the time for him. And like, she seemed like one of those girls. And then the fact that she was cheating on him and like acting like he was suspicious and crazy, like he was crazy. But like, I didn't like her.
And she was like on him about smoking weed and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the fact that she was so depressed when what's his name died, like, were you in love with him? Yeah, I'm just like, I don't know. I didn't, the smoking weed, but you're cheating on your husband, like, okay. You were so obsessed with him, you lost her, like, I don't know. I didn't like her as a character. I didn't feel bad for her, like, at all. Like, okay.
No, I don't have sympathy. I'm just like, I would like to see, like, hear from her a little bit.
I want to see a POV of her of when she first met Gabriel. Like, I want to see how they met and, like,
that interaction. True.
Like, was it anything like how she met Theo? You know, does she have, like, thing where she, like, leaves the guy she's currently with? Like, is that her thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
How they cross paths because they didn't work together.
But also, remember Theo kept being like, I feel like I've seen this guy before. Like, he looks like me. So I'm like, I don't know.
I also, that was what made me like the most anxious, was just the fact when he knew but wasn't saying anything. That was what kept making me anxious. I don't know why, like, that was like what was really the thing for me. But just like every time they interacted and he's just like, we hear his, like, we see his like internal monologue of like, I'm so sad. She's cheating on me, but I don't say anything because I still love her. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. He was fucking pissing me off because he wouldn't leave. Like, he would just complain that she was cheating, but he'd just stay there. Like, no one fucking cares. Just leave. Like, stop complaining. Just fucking leave.
Like, say something, you pussy.
Leave. Yeah.
That was funny. Also, I remember the other thing I was going to say. I don't know. I read this originally thinking it took place in kind of like 50s, 60s.
Oh.
But obviously, I know it's not because it kept mentioning like cell phones, laptops, all that stuff. So it's modern, but just like, I don't, the vibes of it gave me a more dated feeling. I think.
Oh, me too. I was like 80s, 90s.
Oh, interesting. See, I was thinking like, I think probably just the setting in a sanitarium. I kept thinking back to American Horror Story Asylum, which is set in the 60s. And so it just kept giving me those vibes. And then you'd be like, cell phone. And I was like, wait, huh? So I was wondering, yeah, like you said 80s, 90s. When did you read it? Like, sorry.
I thought it was like present time. Like, I didn't think like it was a different time, like a different era. But like, now that you said it, like besides the cell phone part, like I could totally see it being like, from like the 60s, 70s, like not from this time, because the way I picture Theo though is like one of those guys that have like little like fedora-ish hats, you know, like,
yes,
like that's how I'm picturing him now.
Yes, which I was actually gonna say as well, I don't have face claims for many books, but somehow I got a face claim for this for Theo.
Who?
Really? I
think you guys are gonna hate me for it.
Oh no.
I pictured Harry a la Don't Worry Darling.
Him like that.
No,
I told you you'd hate me.
Was Theo supposed to be handsome though? Because Harry's very handsome.
Yeah, I don't think of Theo as this handsome guy. I think of this more like scrawny, like newspaper-y dude.
Okay, well, and you say it like that, obviously it's not him.
I'm sure I'm like not ugly, but or not too skinny, but like not Harry.
I think because British, I was thinking the era, Don't Worry Darling's like 50s-ish. And I was just thinking of that kind of like person. And then like, because of that, plus the British, I was like, Harry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see Harry at all. You're like, you're fucking weird for that. I don't have a specific face claim for Theo, if I'm being honest.
I imagine somebody not ugly, like kind of good looking, but like not Harry. Like I just didn't. I don't really have a face claim. Like, I know she was like supposed to be a redhead. But that's crazy. You picture Harry. Not for any other book, but this one.
Not a romance book.
No, I mean, I pictured him in romance books too, but like for some reason, I was just very much thinking like actor-y vibes, you know? And I was like,
Oh my God. My babe.
I don't know who I picture, but when I say newspaper guy, I mean like a journalist from like back in the day.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Wears the like fedora hat. Like, that's just how I pictured Theo. I don't know why. But then that also doesn't like, I didn't think of time zone. I didn't time zone, time like era or anything. But also, why would a guy in this time, like our time,
be present time like that?
Yeah, same. Like you guys mentioned 50s, 60s, and 90s. And I'm out here like, I didn't even think about a time frame, like a time period. If I'm being honest, I just like went with it.
I also was thinking like, because they would like run back and write everything down from their meeting, they wouldn't record anything, like that kind of is dated.
It could be like early 2000, like late like 90s.
Yeah, I was like 80s, 90s. And I feel like the horror era, they like a lot of it's 80s.
They talk about texting though.
That's the thing.
Like it kept tripping me up. I was like,
I feel like it's supposed to be modern day, but I like just in my head, I imagine something a little older.
Yes. So how do we feel? Would we recommend? What's our closing?
Sure. I'd recommend it like the kind of genre, but I wouldn't say it's like amazing. I'd be like, yeah, check it out. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, same. Like, sure. Like if you're into thrillers or mysteries, like give it a shot. I think anyone who's into that genre would like it. And if you just want to try something new, like just why not? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're into this like type of genre, I'd go for it. I'm gonna sell my book. I didn't even open it because I listened to the audio. It's not something like I'd go back to pick up again. But I feel like the twist was worth it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I would also in the same way.
A little unique.
Yeah, if someone were to ask me for a recommendation, my immediate thing would be probably like a romance type book. But like if I knew the person and I knew that wasn't their vibe, or like they specified something like eerie sort of or whatever, I'd recommend this. Normally we would end our episodes by saying to catch our next episode, But given the time that it's going to be holiday season coming up, we are actually going to be taking a little hiatus, ending our season one of Boozy Book Talk, and we will be starting our season two of Boozy Book Talk in the new year.
As always, you can follow us on our socials at Boozy Book Talk Pod on Instagram and TikTok, and you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or pretty much everywhere podcasts are available. Also, make sure to subscribe and give us a review, and be sure to follow us on our individual Goodreads.
Thanks for listening. Cheers.
Cheers.
Woo. See you next year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays.